You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we got some new guys on the Astros roster. Trey Mancini, Christian Vasquez, who conveniently was at Minute Maid Park with the Boston Red Sox when it was announced he was traded. Jose Siri shipped off as part of a three-team deal between the Astros, the Rays, and the Red Sox. More moves made, being made in MLB right now, but also noteworthy that Jake Odorizzi is to Atlanta in a trade for lefty reliever Will Smith. Not the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but a real slap in the face if you like Jake Odorizzi. All right, guys, thoughts on yesterday's news?
Okay, look, they're obviously better, but I think the real question is now going to be, how much better did this make them? You now have a lot more flexibility in your infield. You can bring Yuli Gurriel in off the bench. You can continue to use Yuli Gurriel in the lineup on a semi-regular basis. You have multiple options at designated hitter now in both Mancini and in, of course, Jordan Alvarez. I think you can also kind of play around with what you do in left field as you wait for Michael Brantley to return. There still are some questions, though, in your lineup. What are you getting out of that center field spot? I mean, I'm whether it's Jake Myers or the Chasmanian Devil, I'm not feeling great about that. I also really want to know how they will continue to put Aledmys Díaz in the lineup. Díaz has been helping the Astros give everybody a day off for the last month. And over the last month, I don't know if there's a Utility Man of the Year award, but the guy's played every single position this season outside of center field. And over the last month, Vanessa, his OPS has gone up from 552 to 735, 8 doubles and 6 home runs over the course of the last month. Honestly, I kind of want to know if he can play center field at all. He made a nice play at third base last night, too. Like, he's been really good. How does he factor into your flexibility? Because now you have a bunch of corner infielders, two of them in both in Mancini and in, I guess Jordan's not a corner infielder, but like, okay, where are you going to put him on a nightly basis? You're in a weird spot where now you have a bunch of designated hitters. Defensively, I don't think you're better. Like, defensively, I think you're probably going to be a little bit worse, assuming that you use Mancini at first base every single night.
Let's get to know these new Astros players as much as we possibly can. We're going to get to Trey Mancini in a second because you have some folks in Baltimore that know him better than we do. Let's play this clip from Christian Vasquez. I'm going to take you back to 2020. This is during the Red Sox losing streak against the Yankees. Christian Vasquez felt just fine.
You guys are now 1-14 at Yankee Stadium in the last 2 years. I mean, is there anything you could point to there, or just how crazy is that compared to how good that feeling was there at the end of 18?
I think the only thing I can tell, they have no ring, so I have one. You know, we beat them in the playoff, and, you know, I like my ring.
I love my ring.
I love the pettiness.
Confirmed he hates the Yankees. That's what I need. That's what I need. Look, it's not with the Red Sox, but if you can bring that Yankee-hating energy here, maybe he sticks around after the year. But that's the other interesting part about this. These two guys that you brought in, I mean, they are hired guns, and you already next year have to wonder about what the hell's going on with Michael Brantley and Yuli Gurriel, too, because their contracts also expire. So this is a weird spot. It doesn't feel like it's the last hurrah, but this is going to be an offseason with significant turnover because – I don't know. I have a hard time buying that you bring back both of those guys. And, of course, Justin Verlander has got that opt-out clause as well if he goes over a set amount of innings. And assuming that he's going to hit 130, which I believe he's right on the cusp of, that is going to be something that they're going to have to somehow replace. And while maybe in the starting rotation they're okay, yeah, this is going to be interesting the next couple of months.
I have to think that this is the end of Jason Castro probably as an Astro.
Yeah.
But I like what you said about the roster. It doesn't answer every question, but I think that they definitely got better with another acquisition they made from the Baltimore Orioles, which is in Orioles. What? Orioles. I do love Orioles, though. In Trey Mancini. This is a guy that can hit really well. There were some stats nerds, some analytics guys on Twitter, I say nerds lovingly, by the way, that kind of mapped out how far some of his hits would go, and they would absolutely be home runs in Minute Maid Park that weren't necessarily at Camden Yards. So I think that this is going to be exciting. From what I've heard, he's a great guy. And you know a little bit more about the Baltimore media scene, thanks to a friend.
One of my buddies has been covering the Orioles on a daily basis for a while, and he had a couple of thoughts on him. He is a first baseman slash designated hitter who doesn't play outfield well, but he could play some left field at Minute Maid, theoretically, sort of the same way that we see Yordan Alvarez do. When he's bad, he is really, really bad. Example, he was just in an 0-for-26 slump. When he's good, he's totally locked in, but he's streaky. He also brought up the same point that many have about how if he were at Minute Maid Park, he would probably have 20 to 22 home runs at this point in the season. They moved the left field wall back 26 feet this year, and it really killed him. He is, on top of that, a decent first baseman, not a good arm, but he can pick it. And he is, as this person says, truly one of the best people in the game. So that side of things is pretty cool to have
aboard your team. And that goes over well in Houston.
Yes.
Houston is a place where if you're a good person and you're doing charity events, people can call that corny, whatever you want. But if you have galas, you're involved in the community. Trey obviously overcame colorectal cancer and has been really involved in that cause as well. All right, let's get to some other baseball news that's been breaking. It seems like Juan Soto to the Padres is official. We've heard of Josh Bell, but the guys aren't really, you know, the Passons and the Rosenthals aren't tweeting that that is finalized. Eric Hosmer seems to be headed to the Nationals as part of that deal. So what are your thoughts, comments, concerns? Juan Soto, obviously now a San Diego Padre. Seems like Josh Bell could be on his way as well.
Passon said that it's Josh Bell, too, just
there you go.
A second ago. So
I trust Passon. I believe in you, Jeff Passon.
By the way, an observation I had last night just watching the ESPN broadcast of the Astros and the Red Sox, and I was like, why can we have AT&T Sportsnet? There's way too much Red Sox content on this broadcast. They suck.
Yeah, we have Jeff, Julia, Todd?
Just a random observation. Like, why are all the baseball analysts little tiny folk?
They are. A lot of them are small.
They are short kings.
That's a good point.
I mean, so I
Buster Olney, not tall. Jeff Passon, not tall.
Ken Rosenthal,
not tall.
Jeff Passon is the tallest of all of them, and he's 5'9".
Verducci, not tall.
Hall of Famer Tim Kirkchin.
Yeah.
Not tall.
Kirkchin.
Short kings.
A lot of short kings out there. Anyway, sorry. I don't know why I got sidetracked.
Look at them.
By
They're on SportsCenter right now in a booster seat.
What was that?
To go back, I mean, all right, great. The Padres made a big move, but the Padres' big moves over the last couple of years, Manny Machado, giving Fernando Tatis the big time extension. We haven't seen the results yet with them. And all right, great. They're making headlines, and their uniforms look like poop and pee.
Worst uniforms, by the way.
They are ugly. They're 58-46. They're 12 games back in the National League West. I mean, it would be pretty funny to see the Dodgers have an epic collapse at the hands of the Padres, but you look at things right now as far as where the Padres are. They're the second wild card team. Do you feel like they are a threat to the Dodgers? I don't know. I feel like the Dodgers are clearly the best team in the National League, and I think the Mets are pretty close behind. So I think you could see the Padres elevate themselves into that first tier of National League teams, but it's going to be an uphill battle for them because they're probably going to be a wild card team. And I guess I'll believe it when I see it.
Sometimes it's about division. This deal could blow up as of a minute ago per Ken Rosenthal because the Nationals are on Eric Hosmer's 10-team no-trade list. So he has to give his consent to be traded to Washington. Ken Rosenthal
really
just tweeted enormous pressure on Hosmer to approve the deal, and he might get something more out of it beyond the 3 years, $39 million he's owed from 23 to 25. Hosmer, Soto, Bell are all represented by Scott Boras, as are Gore and Wood. Players generally need to be compensated to waive no trade protection. So he may get a bigger payday.
Also, how hilarious is it that he has a 10-team note? Like, I will not go to these 10
Incredible.
Teams.
Incredible. Honestly,
like, I've heard it the other way, where it's like the 10 teams I'm willing to go to.
That's actually like the power of Scott Boras, though, because that is so specific. The fact that he got that in his deal it's pretty powerful. 10-team no trade
That's pretty funny. I wonder what team what team, like each of those teams on the list, I wonder what the rationale was behind each of them. Like, what is the DC reason? And interesting to note, I saw this tweet put out by my guy, Adam Spillane. The 2019 Nationals have basically become like the 1997 Florida Marlins. Remember when the Marlins just randomly won a World Series in 1997 and then they just like fell off the face of the earth?
That's a great point.
Never to be seen from or heard from again. And then the other time the Marlins won the World Series, 2003, and it's the same thing. They just strip parts. I mean, good God. This used to be like a pretty exciting team. Is anyone even left? Is it like just, what, Steven Strasburg or something like that? I don't even know who's still in Washington at this point.
It's a good point. And they won it here. Like, and I remember interviewing Anthony Rendon after that, and now that team is just kind of like a shell of itself.
He's on the Angels now. Good God, that's crazy.
This is a funny tweet from Danny Vietti. Eric Hosmer could technically tell the Padres to go F themselves and exercise his no-trade clause. It's not expected to happen, but it is his legal right. If all of this falls apart thanks to a very specific...
He should do it.
That would absolutely be hilarious.
The only reason I think it won't happen is because, like you mentioned, he's a Scott Boras guy. Soto's a Scott Boras guy. So I think Boras will kind of be like, hey, listen.
Yeah.
I can make this right in the end.
His wife works for Fox News, so maybe it's like him trying to make sure that they're in a good location for he and his wife. They kind of have the Correa Daniela vibe where they're like,
I didn't know
out
that.
There, yeah.
I didn't
she's
know.
A Fox Newser. Yep.
Wow.
Well, then she can,
Casey McDonald used to work at NESN.
She can be a Capitol Hill reporter.
She could be. That's true. Hey, I think of the wives. I think
it's
of the women.
It's the one place where it makes the most sense.
Eric Hosmer and Casey McDonald will need a new home, and they need to call TGS because it's the best insurance in the game. I know you pay too much for your home insurance, but you probably don't shop for better rates because it's a huge hassle. No more, my friends. 36 carriers shopped by TGS instantly. You get a full quote within 15 seconds. And here's all you have to do. Get out your smartphone. Text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system asks for your address. You send it back, and you get your full quote within 15 seconds. This is a legit company. Their average customer from last year saving about $870 or more. Again, I know shopping for home insurance is not a fun activity, but now it can be easy and it can save you lots of cash. So one more time, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, big morning of breaking news. We love the time. Paul and I have talked about this. We love the time of our show because we get a lot of the breaking news in the different leagues, and we're seeing that with MLB and NFL. It seems Juan Soto is official per Jeff Passan. Still working on the other pieces of that being official. Josh Bell, will Eric Hosmer waive his random 10-team no-trade clause? We shall see, but lots going on. Let's do Paul's segment that we call Yankees Watch.
Ooh.
Yankees Watch.
Damn Yankees!
2022.
All right, so something we noticed last night watching the broadcast on ESPN. Aaron Judge is hitting a lot of home runs. He's got 10 home runs in his 12 games back from the All-Star break. He's on pace for 66 home runs, so looks like he's going to run away with the MVP award, which sucks. The other news is that the Yankees did make two moves. And the two moves, I feel like there might be an Astros Watch segment going on New York radio.
Ooh.
Because both the guys that they brought in after bringing in Andrew Benintendi are guys that have had success against the Houston Astros. They got a pitcher from the Oakland A's and Frankie Montes, who is 8-5 in 13 career starts against Houston and in 15 games. He has a 3.4 ERA in those games, and his most career wins are against Houston, with a 1.33 walks, hits per innings pitch, which isn't very good, 8 strikeouts per 9. This year, he's 4-9 with a 3.18 ERA, so he's pitching pretty well, but he's on a crap team. That's a guy who has pitched well against the Astros. Lou Trevino, also decent numbers against Houston in relief, 2-3 against the Astros, a 3.03 ERA in 33 games, 38.2 innings. His walks, hits per innings pitched against the Astros, 1.035, 9.5 strikeouts per 9. This season, he has been bad. He is 1-6 with a 6.47 ERA. What I will say, though, is that the Yankees clearly made these moves with the idea of getting guys that can help them beat the Astros. And I think that's pretty interesting. You know, kind of is consistent with the paranoia that the Yankees have about the Astros, whether it's Brian Cashman still thinking about 2017 or talk show hosts in New York talking about the Astros as some sort of boogeyman. They clearly realize it, and it's intriguing. And, you know, I'm wondering off the top of my head, and I heard the bench talking about it this morning. I don't know what Mancini's numbers are exactly against New York, but he has played against New York a whole lot, being with Baltimore for all
this
time.
It's a great point, and it's one of the best rivalries in baseball. You've brought it up how it's good that the Astros are being booed. It's good for baseball. It may sound weird to say that, but them being the villains is fun. Yankees are already villains to several of us who grew up fans of other teams, including myself growing up a Cubs fan. I pretty much hated anybody that was successful, which included the Yankees. So, look, I think it's going to be a fun, you know, situation between those two, hopefully, hoping the Astros can once again dominate them. Other MLB news, we've been keeping you guys informed on everything we know. The Juan Soto deal seems to be official per Jeff Passan. No official word on Josh Bell. The Eric Hosmer thing is really interesting. Paul, you brought up some other baseball news about the Brewers.
Yeah. So imagine, and this is going back to something I said a little bit earlier today, the trade deadline is a massive bummer for a lot of teams, specifically teams that are doing well. So look, I don't think that trading a relief pitcher is something that a team should lose its mind over, no matter how good the pitcher is. I think that the way that the Mariners were crying about Kendall Graveman being traded last year was quite honestly a tad embarrassing. It's baseball. You're going to see guys get traded. But the Brewers traded Josh Hader to, guess what? San Diego for major leaguers and prospects. But they felt that it would not be received very well because the Brewers are in first place in the NL Central, I think by like three games over St. Louis right now. So they put out this statement. The players we are receiving in this trade help ensure that the future of the Milwaukee Brewers remains bright while not compromising our desire and expectation to win today. This mix of present major league talent and high-level prospects furthers our aim to get as many bites of the apple as possible and ultimately to bring a World Series to Milwaukee. Trading good players on good teams is difficult, and that certainly is the case with Josh. We also recognize that to give our organization the best chance for sustained competitiveness, to avoid the extended down periods that so many organizations experience, we must make decisions that are not easy. That is from David Stearns, the president of Milwaukee Brewers Baseball Operations. Blah, 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 TLDR. What he really said is, we're sorry we traded him. We want to be good for a while. We think this will help us be good for a while. And he might be right. It's a reliever. I don't think you should be freaking out about trading one, even if the guy is good. At the same time, though, it just looks so bad. And it's the same thing that the Orioles did with Trey Mancini. I mean, good God. You're playing the best baseball you've played in years. You're in the wild card race. This guy is beloved in Baltimore. Everyone loves him. He is a wonderful person, a big part of Baltimore's community. And you trade him before you even get to the finish line.
It is savage.
To your fans, it's like, hey, you remember how we were going to compete? Well, guess what? Maybe we'll compete 4 years from now. And you know, there's probably some, you know, baseball is an old person sport, right? No offense to all the old people out there.
We love you.
There's probably some guy like 66 years old on his ham radio that's like, well, I might not even be alive 4 years from now. Just like that.
Pretty old for 66.
I know. He sounded 106.
Was that ageist?
You were a little ageist.
My bad. Okay, he's 86 years old.
I don't know if I'll be able to hear. My hearing aids aren't working anymore.
Like I don't know. And that would piss me off if I'm a fan of any team. Like I'm so close, and all of a sudden this ownership group says, "Yeah, but you could go kiss our ass and just deal with it for the next 4 years." Because hope springs eternal.
It is different if it's a really bad team. Because if you're a really bad team with a superstar, you're like, nah, okay, maybe it's time to rebuild. But if you're like one of those teams that could be on the cusp, I don't care what sport it is.
Yeah, I mean,
also, I looked up Josh Hader's contract because I thought, oh, maybe he's expiring. They know they're not going to be able to resign him. I think he's a free agent in 2024.
So right.
He is signed for a
Jesus,
little while.
Jesus, Padres. Wow. I mean, they're really not giving a single bleep about what that is. I got to check this out on Spotrack. And by the way, the other thing I was going to check out, Mancini's numbers against the New York Yankees. It's okay. I mean, he's in his career against New York, a 730 OPS. He's got 11 home runs, 18 doubles, 33 runs batted in, an average of 247. But I want to see what the Nationals, the Padres salary cap is right now. Like, there's no way they can afford all this, right? Like, they got to be paying millions and millions in luxury tax money now.
John Heyman says James Wood is thought to have been the linchpin of this deal. Padres did not want to give him up. He's been compared to Willie McGovey. Padres should get credit here, mostly for gathering so many great prospects.
Oof. I mean, yeah, their payroll right now is $215 million now that they've added Soto into the mix. That is insane. I bet that's close to the top of all baseball.
Am I the only one that wants this to get messy and wants Eric Hosmer to say no?
Oh, I do too. I honestly, any team that gets good, like, I mean, look, you lost to the Nationals, you lost to the Braves. I don't want to lose to another National League team in the World Series. So, yes, I hope that this gets blown out of the water too.
Sean, you were about to say something.
Oh, I was just thinking that it's crazy that in football we never think about how, like, how did the Denver Broncos compete with all the big market teams? And then, but in baseball, it's like, wow, I can't believe San Diego's paying all these guys. Where it's like, well, they're still a professional sports franchise owned by a billionaire. They can pay everything.
It's true, but it's San Diego. Like, no one cares about sports in San Diego. You know, they just want to go surf. And by per Spotrac, the Padres have the fifth highest payroll in all of baseball.
Wow,
which
really?
Which is still behind. Can you guys guess the top four?
God.
Mets.
Yeah, Yankees.
Correct.
Astros.
No.
Oh.
Astros are at ninth, which is pretty good.
Yeah, no, that is
operate on a budget.
Yeah.
Oh, the Angels.
No.
I mean, we know the Rays are at the bottom by now because that's one of the narratives every year.
Angels are eighth, yes. The Rays are, the Rays were 24. That's higher than
usual, yeah.
The A's are 29th.
The A's are 29th?
The Orioles are dead last.
Wow.
And they traded Trey Mancini.
Save a little more.
Okay, there are two teams. One of them, you guessed the right city, Sean. You just didn't guess the right team.
Oh, Dodgers.
The Dodgers are number one with a $261 million payroll. The Mets are $260. The New Yankees are $257. There is one more team that is up there that is surprising, and they have been decent the last couple of years. They are in a big market, a market that actually cares about sports.
The White Sox?
Probably cares a little bit too much about sports.
Boston?
No.
The White Sox?
Close, though. Vanessa was warm, not the White Sox.
Red Sox.
No.
Oh, I just said Boston.
They used to have the Boston Braves and the Boston Red Sox a long time ago.
Is it the Phillies?
It is the Phillies, yes. The Phillies are fourth in terms of total payroll with $233 million. Yes. I was surprised
they don't
by that
show
too.
It.
Yeah. Where the hell are they right now at this point in time?
Philadelphia.
Yes, thank you. They are in Philadelphia. The Phillies are in third place in the NL East with that payroll.
So. Coming up, a lot of baseball info today. Are you a stats guy now?
I mean, I guess. And by stats guy, I mean I have a computer.
Follow
and Google.
Gallant says on TikTok for all of the stats breakdowns and the analytics.
Should I, like, put on just glasses and just say, yes.
Well, if you take a look at his Klontorp and his OPS, you'll actually see
it
that
doesn't matter
Mancini
that
struggles
they lost
against
the game
Yankees.
Because they actually got closer.
Yeah. His WOBA.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
His ex-FIP.
Jimmy and Jerry, a feud for the ages. Plus, the Dolphins and Bucks have joint practices next week. That should be fun, thanks to some new NFL info. That's coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
But first, I got to tell you guys about my friends at BUSR. And look, guys, if you want to gamble on sports, you have plenty of options. But don't you want to go with a company that's going to, give you a little extra something-something with your first deposit? That is absolutely what I would want to have, and that is what my friends at BUSR.com/ESPN can give to you. I don't know. Maybe you want to make an Astros World Series bet. BUSR.com/ESPN. Here's what you do. BUSR offers sports betting, a casino, horse racing, and a lot more. And you could double your deposit within the first 24 hours of signing up to $2,500. They have prop builders that allow you to create your own prop bets, which is the way that you should be doing it. You're betting on the spread of a game every single night. That's fine. You want to bet on the prop bets. You got a much better chance of winning on some of those. And guess what? If you deposit with crypto, you'll get a 45% cash bonus on top of that deposit. But to get that cash bonus, BUSR.com/ESPN. BUSR.com/ESPN. You want to gamble on sports online? This is the place to do it. BUSR.com/ESPN.
Warning.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we're going to get to some fun NFL feuds and sports feuds in just a minute or so, but we want to reset and recap for those of you listening. There has been some penalties, some suspensions, and some fines laid down by the National Football League for the Miami Dolphins in relation to the tampering with Sean Payton, Tom Brady, as well as it gets into some of the Brian Flores accusations. There's just a myriad of different things.
Tanking and tampering.
Yeah, tanking and tampering, which sounds like a fishing shop. Mm-hmm. So here are the penalties for those involved. The Dolphins forfeit the first round selection in 2023 and third round in the 2024. The owner, Ross, is suspended until October 17th, 2022. He can't be at the Dolphins facility. Bummer, he'll probably just go to his house in Cabo, whatever, and he is fined $1.5 million. Bruce Beal, the Dolphins vice chairman, $500,000. And guys, the word unprecedented used again. Roger Goodell said he had never seen tampering to this level for Sean Payton and Tom Brady.
Ross is a bozo. He always has been. He's been one of the worst owners in the NFL since taking over the Dolphins. I mean, this is a guy that did this three separate times. He did this in 2019 and 2020. I think this is the infamous, hey, they brought Tom Brady onto a boat and Brian Flores was like, what the hell is going on here? They talked to him again last season in the middle of the year to Tom Brady. And then after the year with Sean Payton still under contract with New Orleans, and he still is under contract with New Orleans. He's just retired.
It's a great point.
They also spoke with him again. And then you go into the tanking side of things. And I'm sorry, like if you in 2021, 22, 2019, whatever, if you're leaving a paper trail of actual attempts to tank in the NFL, like you're just a bozo. And that's what he is. Look, there's a lot of bozo owners in the league. This is one who is actually pretty successful as far as business ventures go. And, you know, the investigation as far as the tanking, Vanessa, goes, on a number of occasions during the 2019 season, Mr. Ross expressed his belief that the Dolphins' position in the upcoming 2020 draft should take priority over the team's win-loss record. Now, in his defense, what team isn't thinking that way as this season progresses? One such comment, a claimed offer by Mr. Ross to pay Coach Flores $100,000 to lose games. Per the investigation, such a comment was not intended or taken to be a serious offer, but it doesn't deny that it existed. Okay, I mean, that's out there? Good God! That's a terrible look, an absolutely terrible look. And honestly, this isn't enough of a penalty. A first-round pick, a third-round pick, you should have to suspend one of your best players.
And then
players.
The owner is suspended for, what is it, six games, Sean said it ends up being?
One day longer than that of Deshaun Watson.
And it's one day after the announcement from Sue Robinson that the recommended is. All right, so let's put on our tin caps for a second. So does this mean, tin foil hats, does this mean that the NFL...
I don't have a tin foil hat, so I'm putting my hands over my head.
Does this mean that the NFL and Roger Goodell in a couple of days / weeks are going to decide to suspend Deshaun Watson longer? Because I think most would say if the NFL is suspending an owner six games for tampering, tanking, etc., that in theory you should suspend Watson for longer, right?
Yeah. It really depends on, does the NFL want to drag this out? Because if they drag this out, I mean, we saw how long the Brady Deflategate investigation was dragged out. There's not enough evidence here, much like in the Tom Brady situation, to like just completely stop something in its tracks. The way that the Ezekiel Elliott suspension went and his appeal too, there's a bunch of just weird lawyer stuff that I think involved, hey, who's going to be able to file their case more quickly? And you have to physically file it, and the NFL's closer because they're in New York City so that they can file these before anybody actually tries to. So there's that kind of gets in the way sometimes of an appeal process. A lot of stuff that I, to be perfectly honest, don't 100% understand off the top of my head. Whatever happens here, though, it really is about, does the NFL want to continue something that has been a black eye for the league for a year and a half plus? Do they want it to keep going because it will take a long time to resolve itself just given the backlog that we have in courts across the country? Or are they just going to say, let's get it over with, let's peel the Band-Aid off, we'll bleed for a little bit, but people will forget about this in a year?
The feud that never ends, Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson. Jerry sat down with NBC5's Newey Scruggs, and Newey, this longtime Dallas media member, asked him if Jimmy Johnson will ever go in the Cowboys' Ring of Honor. Here's what old Jerry had to say.
For anybody to be making anything, I've said I'm going to put him in. Now, when I put him in, and the circumstances and what I do with that, there's a lot more than Jimmy to think about here. And I've got a lot of other lives out here that have laid a lot on the line on the field that need to be in that Ring of Honor as well. And so how I do that, what I do it with, I get to make that decision. And it isn't at the end of the day all tailored around whether Jimmy's snibbling or not.
Okay, so Jerry then went on to say that Jimmy Johnson was, quote, one of the luckiest guys on the earth for the position that he was in when he was in it. This is the feud that will never end. It's like these guys can't just look back and decide, you know what, how about them Cowboys? We had a good run. We had a good team. We had some lucky breaks. But you know what? The triplets were fun. God bless Troy Aikman. Now, you know, we have such a great brand that two of our former quarterbacks are on the number one broadcast teams for networks. Like, they can't just enjoy it.
I would have a hard time enjoying it too, though, knowing that my franchise has been irrelevant comparatively since Jimmy Johnson left. And I know they won the Super Bowl with Barry Switzer, but I think most people will tell you that it was just a different vibe with Barry Switzer in charge in the 1995-1996 season where they ultimately won Super Bowl 30 against the Steelers. And then everything sort of started to fall apart after that. Jerry should have gotten out of the way and let Jimmy Johnson stay there. Johnson left. He goes to the Miami Dolphins that season, and it didn't really work out for him with the Dolphins. Like, I think, like, again, I'm not a Cowboys fan by any means, but I do think just from a football history perspective, it is a bit of a bummer that all of a sudden those two just parted ways, and it really was never the same for the Cowboys after that. And then the rest of that decade was a decade that belonged to first the Packers, then the Broncos, and then the Rams at the very end of it.
What are some of the best feuds in sports? I don't know that I would put this in the top five, but it is certainly entertaining whenever Jerry talks about it. I always go immediately to Larry and Magic, just what they had in college, playing each other in the college championship, and then, of course, with the Celtics and the Lakers.
You think they hated each other, though?
They ended up really liking each
right.
other. So they did hate. Good question, because if you ever read Seth Davis's biography about this, they did not like each other in college.
They didn't know each other, and I think that's part of it,
they
too.
They ended up really connecting when they did a Converse Chuck Taylor commercial.
Correct.
And ended up that even though they were totally different, they liked each other. But it was still like a quote-unquote feud. It was probably a nice feud, but I always enjoyed that one. What are some sports feuds you guys like?
Jones versus Jimmy Johnson is really this is the fascinating one just because of the way that it lasted.
Barry Bonds versus baseball writers.
that's been a fun one. That's been a very fun one for a while.
Riders got the last laugh.
Favre versus Aaron Rodgers was interesting. And, I mean, you got two personalities who, I mean, if you know anything about what's going on with Brett Favre in Mississippi, where he was, like, essentially, like, skimming funds from the government that were supposed to be for, what, like, schools or something, perhaps even... That makes it even look worse than it just being like specifically schools. So Brett Favre versus Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers was sitting waiting in the wings as Favre continued to be the quarterback of the Packers for a couple of years, and they had a horrible relationship with one another while they were there. That does seem to be consistent with just about every single relationship that Aaron Rodgers has had over the course of his life. But you can also understand why you might be a little bit worn out by the fact that the quarterback that's standing in front of you consistently would give away games with stupid interceptions over the course of his career, especially that one that lost the Packers the NFC Championship game against Eli Manning and the Giants back in 2007.
Paul Pierce versus LeBron James is one that pops up. Brady versus Manning. I don't know that I would consider that a feud because didn't they always like each other?
I feel like they were maybe not quite as warm as Magic and Bird were with one another. That was more, hey, the showdown is ultimately going to be between Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. I would say just yes, the entire late 2000 Celtics against LeBron James, because it was not just Paul Pierce. Pierce was a big part of it, but it was definitely Kevin Garnett too.
And Paul, here's what happens.
They got pissed at Ray Allen for joining the Heat.
The reason that Jerry and Jimmy are interesting is because it's been for so long. Because what usually happens is what happened with Paul Pierce. After Paul Pierce retired, worked for ESPN, got fired for the Instagram stripper incident. He always says now that was totally misunderstood. And that's what happens a lot of times with these feuds is these guys do interviews. They've been retired for a decade, whatever. And they're like, you know what? It was all just a misunderstanding. People don't know we actually liked each other. It's like, did you really?
Yeah. Or it's just at the end of the day, the feud was like, oh, yeah, because we, you know, we kept eliminating each other in the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
That's
right.
Why I didn't like him, is because he kept me from winning a ring.
Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson, the feud that never ends. Maybe someday Jimmy Johnson's name will hang in AT&T Stadium.
It should. Won two Super Bowls, and he was the guy who said, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
Come on.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to recap some of the biggest news in the MLB and NFL, because, boy, have we had plenty today. Plus, our Garbage Time segment coming up next.
But first, I got to tell you about our friends at the Passive Investor Network. PIN is a full-service real estate investment firm. You're looking to make money through real estate, these are your guys. They're going to set up a 5-year plan for you where you sit down with a portfolio manager, go over your long-term goals and how to execute them through real estate investments. These guys are licensed professionals that do the hard work of finding the parts of town and houses to invest in. And then they do the construction for you. With 20 plus years of experience in fixing houses. And they have an app where you can actually see updates on a daily basis in the app of your property. Once construction's done, they find the tenants for you. Wow. It's all out of your hands, and they do the property management, but you own the house. They just do the hard work for you and take the headache out of the investment process so that you can make money passively to achieve those long-term goals. How do you do it? Go to their website today, passiveinvestor.net. Tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you, and then schedule a free consultation with a portfolio manager. Again, the consultation is free, or join them on their famous bus tour, passiveinvestor.net. Tell them Paul Gallant from ESPN 97.5 sent you by.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, there is a new owner this year for the Denver Broncos. Ron Walton, who owns Walmart, will be, of course, the primary owner. But as of today, F1 superstar Lewis Hamilton is joining the Broncos ownership group.
Hell
this is
yeah.
exciting as a minority owner. Unless you live under a rock, you know that F1 has taken off, thanks in large part to that documentary on
Drive
Netflix.
To Survive. Which I've never
seven-time
watched.
Seven-time Formula One world champion Sir Lewis Hamilton.
He's a knight.
Should be eight.
It should be eight.
Got robbed in Abu Dhabi last year.
Sean, yes!
Is he
a
knight?
We have so much to talk about.
Yeah, he was knighted.
Him
and Sir Elton John.
Screw that. I don't want no knights here. Get out of my country.
You don't want knights?
I don't want any of these damn limeys with their BS titles here, like taking our jobs. No.
Taking our jobs as Broncos owner.
We won the Revolutionary War. We bailed their ass out in World War II. I'm sorry. Stop sending us some random limey who has no idea how football works and probably thinks that football is the stuff that like Manchester United plays. Get out of my country.
You don't think it's good for the Broncos to have a little F1 flavor,
no.
some foreign?
No. No, he's an Englishman. They think football is played with their feet. Incorrect. It is played minimally with your feet and soon probably won't involve your feet at all. That is how football works. You can get out.
It would be hilarious if he was at the first game and he was like, wait, why are they kicking it more?
Yeah. What is this?
American jobs and American business. And he has a title. I'm sorry, Vanessa. I hate the idea of titles. Like a knight. Oh, wow.
You do, Sir Lewis Hamilton.
Some old ass
queen. So you don't call him Sir Elton
John?
Shoulder
with a sword.
You don't call him Sir Elton John?
No, I don't. But Elton John's different because he's actually...
Benny and the Jets.
Elton John has been a part of my life because I listened to Elton John music growing up.
Because you listen to Elton John, he can be a knight.
He's not a knight. No, Elton John is a man. He is a man. He is not a knight. He is not riding with the Knights of the Round Table into battle against... Merlin.
Do you want to know what's annoying about this? Is I don't like Russell Wilson, obviously, but the Broncos continuously do things like, let's be honest, Peyton Manning, as much as it pains me to say, is more involved with them and their social media than he is with the
Bronco,
Colts for whatever reason.
Tired of Broncos.
Don't say that. but yeah, I don't. This is another thing that they're doing that's actually kind of fun. I mean, it pains me to say it, but the Broncos like understand PR.
And if the Queen's ever under attack, I guess it's on Lewis Hamilton Elton John, Michael Caine to go protect her.
Michael Caine, Muppet Christmas Carol, underrated
yeah.
movie.
Oh, that's
Goat Christmas Carol.
You ain't kidding. You. That's my favorite Christmas. That is. Do we all like the same Christmas movie?
Do we all like the same?
Yeah.
That's an underrated Christmas movie.
No, I love it. I can sing all the songs in that movie.
Me
but
too.
I do not recognize Sir Michael Caine, even though he was awesome as Alfred in The Dark Knight and all of that trilogy. I refuse to acknowledge British titles. I think it is the exact opposite of democracy in America. Every single person is supposed to be equal, even politicians. I don't like calling a politician a senator or a president. You are a citizen representative of the United States. And this obsession that people in the United States have, specifically women, with the royal family is disgusting. Queen Elizabeth, do you really like Queen Elizabeth? What do you think happened to Princess Diana? You can go on the internet rabbit hole and find out if you really want to look.
Hey, she and that security guard, that driver or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Let's stay together.
There is some really shady stuff going on. They have been doing shady stuff for 1,000+ years. We are done with the British, and I'm sorry.
My favorite part are the people that think they know the royals. They're like, you don't know Meghan and Harry and what they've been through. I'm like, do you?
Or like, when especially when it's the kids. That's when it gets really, like, whatever. One of them has, like, a bunch of little kids, and they're like, look at them.
Yeah.
Look cheering at on. Them. The whatever English
well there
team.
Was there was one clip of Meghan one of the kids I think it was Kate and who she married to Will Kate and
yeah William
Will
yeah.
Williams
calling
youngest
Will,
son
Prince Will it's funny
one of their youngest son was like sticking his tongue out and acting a fool and people were like look how relatable and cute this 4-year-old child is I'm like
he didn't just beat
four.
His servant like wow a British prince that didn't just like pull out a baton and smack their servant down because they brought tea that didn't have enough milk in it that was too lukewarm good god sorry so that was all a trigger I hate the idea of knights if he didn't have a knight Vanessa if he didn't have a knighthood I would be totally fine with this. But I don't want any knights in our
country.
Welcome
to the world. Knox Samuel Bregman, Alex and his wife, Reagan, had a baby either this morning or last night. But Alex posted a picture. Cute baby.
If I'm to be consistent, I should say this for Bregman, too. I mean, maybe time the baby at a different time.
I cannot
It's
with
not
you.
The playoffs, at least.
It is not the playoffs.
At least Ryan Pressly had the decency to do it during the All-Star break.
Yeah, exactly.
So
and Aledmus Diaz is hitting well, too, so
Paul
it's a little
is
bit different.
Paul is an ovulation schedule expert, apparently. the latest on the MLB trades, Bob Nightingale said there are no active negotiations going on with Eric Hosmer and the Padres after he rejected his trade to the Nats. So we will see how this could affect some of the other packages and whatnot. All right, it is time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, I've never seen Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad.
Wow.
So I'm going to let you take this next story something involving a dragon that's better than those shows.
Oh my God. Dude, yeah, that is so offensive to me.
That
is so offensive.
I watched Veep. I watched The Office.
That is the most offensive thing
Dateline,
that's happened today.
An aggressive amount of Dateline.
You didn't need to throw in that dragon comment.
It's something about a dragon. I've never heard of
it's
this.
The house of the dragon.
Is it Harry Potter related?
No. It's a spinoff of the Game of Thrones show. They are claiming, people that have watched it, that it is better than the original Game of Thrones, which was very good until the last season. And Breaking Bad, which I think is the most perfect television show of all time to the point that I've watched it 8 times. And we'll probably continue to watch it, seeing as Better Call Saul is just about to wrap up its third-to-last episode.
The two are related?
Was last night, yes.
Okay.
So Better Call Saul is a spinoff series of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I remember you saying that now.
House of the Dragon is like a prequel series to Game of Thrones. I don't buy this for a second, though. Like, don't tell me something is better than those two shows before it even comes out. I don't buy that for
this
a second.
This is the equivalent of, in training camp, the rookie quarterbacks really turning heads
after
one day.
Wow, Kyle Allen had a couple of really nice throws today at Texans training camp.
Peyton Manning will host the CMA Awards. I'm excited for this. The Country Music Association has awards every year. I thought Peyton Manning did a really great job with the ESPYs when he bombed on Kevin Durant and was fun with that. So I think that this should be fun. Will you watch Peyton Manning host the CMA since you don't like country music or Peyton Manning?
No. Although I have, surprisingly though, I have watched the Country Music Awards before.
Really?
Yeah, I did. Yes. But it wasn't my choice. I was watching it with somebody else at the time. I'm not gonna lie though, I did enjoy watching it with this other person who tried to teach me how to line dance as we were watching it. I think it's line dancing. Or
it
it's
is
country
line
dancing.
I
do declare I've never done a dance like that, but I do believe that lady, she taught me something and brought something in myself.
I'm sure she
out.
Taught you many things. I can boot scoot and boogie. I don't want to brag. Heel toe do si do. Come
okay,
on, baby, let's
that,
go.
That one.
Cadillac Blackjack. Baby, beat me out back. We're going to boogie.
I know that one. But I've always lost. And
Paul needs to go to Nashville.
Those line dances, like that one, Copperhead Road, and the one that you hear at the wedding, the Cupid Shuffle, and then the wobble. The people that know how to do those dances, how do you know?
No, they're the biggest losers on earth.
Hey, I know all those dances.
Just get up there and dance.
I know
dance.
The Cupid Shuffle just, and the wobble.
Play some street ball out there, all right? We don't need
and
this. We don't need those
boogie.
Regimented. You take one step to the left and hop and then take,
and you know
turn
what?
Around.
I've never been able to learn it. Yeah. I just follow along and I'm like, don't look like too much of an idiot with everybody
yes,
else.
I always spend like the first, I don't know, 2/3 of the song like looking and moving slowly. And then I'm like, this is stupid.
I will say this. They last too long. The Cupid Shuffle and Wobble and all that are like 4-minute songs.
Yeah.
We need a good 2.5 minutes and we're good.
If your DJ is playing the Cupid Shuffle or the Wobble at their wedding, I don't want to be there.
Fire Boot Scootin' Boogie though is very up for grabs, including at my best friend's wedding in Muncie, Indiana, where we learned the Boot Scootin' Boogie at the rehearsal dinner the night before. So
Muncie, hell yeah.
There's a
viral YouTube song about Muncie from back in the day.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. It was like I think it was a ripoff of something that... Wait, was it by Andy Samberg? I forget. Or maybe it was a ripoff of it. I think it was SNL.
Former IT worker James Howells, who once stood on the forefront of crypto boom and could have been a multimillionaire, is spending millions of dollars to scour a UK landfill because he accidentally dumped a hard drive containing 8,000 Bitcoin worth $176 million.
Yeah.
This story really confused me because I thought Bitcoin was all virtual and digital.
Right.
I didn't think it was anything physical.
Well, I think that it, in a while ago, it was physical. And this guy, I guess, physically mined it himself, which must have cost a ton of energy, I would think. Maybe less energy back then. But yeah, so this has been a story for like a year plus. So yeah, he wants to get... the Boston Dynamic robots. Have you seen those before?
I haven't.
To dig through the rubble to get them. They're scary. I actually went into Boston Dynamic once. One of my buddies works there. So that was interesting to get a behind the scenes look of the things that are going to eventually kill all of us.
Yeah, I was going to say, was he there putting the gun on the dog? Or do they keep that behind closed doors?
It's definitely behind closed doors. But he showed me him like beating the robots with sticks.
You know,
like,
you
so that it can maintain balance.
You say people that line dance are losers. The real losers are the NFT Dogecoin or whatever.
Dogecoin?
But Doge?
I don't know.
Dogecoin and Bitcoin bros.
Yeah, those people are insufferable.
Losers. No, line dancers are not
losers.
A lot of losers. We just like to dance and have fun.
No, you like to be told what to do.
Get
while you're
down.
Damn.
Yeah, I do. All
get
right,
down
coming
on
up,
it.
975.
Get down on it.
We are going to have the Killer Bees, Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank, coming up next from 12 to 3.
Peace.